Tom Rem is our man on the ground. Tommy, it's great to catch up with you. Happy New Year, my friend.
Yeah, and you too, BP. Hope you had a great Christmas and New Year. And actually, funnily enough, I was just talking to Jules a little bit earlier, Jules De Stoop, so he's got some big shoes to follow after you, BP.
Oh, there's no doubt about that, Tom. You just hit it on the head beautifully. Hey, I'll get to Ken Hinckley as well, because I want to have a chat to you about he's re-signing. But it's interesting, this additional quarantine that's been set up in Adelaide. I've been reading a few of the players' comments on social media the last few days, because there were reports that maybe some of the top-end tennis players are going to be heading your way, and they will play an event, which is great, in a couple of weeks. I think that was certainly a requirement of the South Australian government for the players to be able to quarantine. As to whether the measures put in place here in Melbourne are going to be replicated in Adelaide. Just to read here, Victorian authorities also examining whether quarantine arrangements for arriving international tennis stars in South Australia have the same rigour that tennis players and officials will face while doing the quarantine in Melbourne. What can you share with us on the ground of what you know how this setup's going to be, Tom?
Well, look, my understanding is they'll arrive tomorrow and the next day, because obviously that's, you know, just outside 14 days away from this event, which is going to be played on January the 29th. My understanding is they're going to be tested regularly, but not every day, BP. So I'm hearing that it's going to be once sort of every few days. They're going to be confined, if you like, to strict COVID conditions in that they're going to be in their hotel. But the one thing that they will be allowed to do is train at the Memorial Drive courts. Now, there's the main court, and there's sort of three of them, which you would have seen from last year's Adelaide International. But then there's also, and a main centre one, there's also some outside courts where there's an adjoining gym. So I think they'll be able to use those courts as well. So it's almost like its own little hub type atmosphere there. So they're going to be able to have access to all of those facilities while they're serving out their 14-day quarantine period.
Okay, because there were certainly just a few reports going around that, and we know that, you know, it's going to be Novak Djokovic, Rafael Nadal, Dominic Thiem, the three big guns on the men's side, Serena Williams, Naomi Osaka, Simona Halep, three of the big guns on the women's side, and their entourages, so I think it was capped at 50, the amount of people that will stay at this four-and-a-half-star hotel in Adelaide. But there was certainly some talk that maybe the players would have access to the amenities within the hotel, which would be totally different to what the players are facing here in Melbourne. When they're not at Melbourne Park and the National Tennis Centre, they are basically locked in their room for 19 hours a day. I'd imagine that the players are going to be in Adelaide doing exactly the same things. So I just wonder where that report was at, because it was a little confusing.
Yeah, and look, that's just the information. It is quite strict in Melbourne, but yeah, my information it is that they are going to have access to these Memorial Drive courts. So I think they'd have to have pretty close proximity to that. Now, whether or not that's the Adelaide Oval Hotel, which is right next to Memorial Drive, that probably makes sense. You know, it's literally adjacent to Memorial Drive, but certainly they'll have access to, you know, these courts. But my understanding is still pretty strict conditions in terms of what they are and aren't able to do. But I guess that one caveat to that is that they're going to be, you know, able to have access to these tennis courts, you know, pretty much the whole time so that they can train.
Yeah, but in the hotel itself, do you think they'll be replicating what the players are doing in Melbourne, just staying in their room totally? Is that your understanding, Tom?
Yeah, that's my understanding at this stage, BP. Okay. So I think they're trying to keep it as uniform as they possibly can in the lead up to the Oz Open.
Gee, I've got one on the text here. I mean, we don't hope this happens. I mean, we're all trying to think positive, and you're a glass half full man, Tommy. You're a positive camper. What happens if there's an outbreak in Adelaide and the border is shut before they come to Melbourne? That's the worst case scenario. So, I mean, there's a lot of sort of high risk, you know, being taken. There's a lot on the line, isn't there, for Tennis Australia and you know, to get this up and running, full kudos to them. This would be a great documentary behind the scenes, a nightmare really for sports administrators. Craig Tiley is earning his money, no doubt at the moment, to try and actually make all this happen. So you hope there's no glitches, but gee, it's an interesting few weeks certainly coming up.
100%, and I mean, I guess that goes to show the changing nature of it, doesn't it, BP? You just don't know. I mean, you know, Melbourne's obviously been what it's been through, which has been horrendous on everyone there, and you've experienced that, BP, as have the listeners. But, you know, it's just changing daily. You don't know if and when there's going to be an outbreak. Now, we've been pretty lucky over here, touch wood. But there have been times where we've had little mini clusters. Also, we went into a 2 or 3 day lockdown there for a while, and that may well happen again. So this is the problem, I guess, for Craig Tiley and Tennis Australia is they can't foolproof it. I'm sure you're hearing the same thing, BP. They are going through contingency plan after contingency plan, backup plan after backup plan. There's so many moving parts, and I think probably a lot that they can't really, lock in stone just yet because you just don't know. But, yeah, look, if something like that did happen, it's a really good text by the listener, then, you know, it may well be that there's going to be some extenuating circumstances that may have to get them over to Melbourne. But, you know, if there's a terrible outbreak, they might be stuck here.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be a nightmare for TO, particularly when you got the best. It was an interesting late call. I mean, obviously they had got to a situation where the numbers were really exploding here, and to try and find an additional place to put a group of players in their entourages. And I think certainly from a South Australian government point of view, I mean, right for them to sort of also say, well, we're not going to take them unless we get some sort of benefit. So at least for the South Australian tennis fans, they get to see some of the best going around. Who in some cases haven't been to Adelaide before, play, I think it's around about the 29th of January?
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be on that 29th. So my understanding is there'll be like a daytime session, and this may change, BP, but like a 1 o'clock session and then an evening session also. So it'll be like an exhibition tournament. So you'll have one at 1 o'clock and then one at 7 o'clock. And you're spot on. I mean, the Adelaide International clearly has been postponed this year because of everything that's happened. But if that is to be the case that they can get this event with some of those top line names that you mentioned, I mean, that's a huge coup for South Australian tennis, albeit under, you know, pretty awful circumstances. But that would be something the fans would really sink their teeth into. Coupled with that, BP, I think there's going to be a women's event after the Australian Open, which will be held here in Adelaide. So that's going to be quite exciting too, I think, for the state. So there's just a couple of little things that are still happening.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's a great facility. A lot of money being pumped into really reviving Memorial Drive with the roof as well, right next to the Adelaide Oval. It is a beautiful setting right in the heart of the CBD. So that we'll park the tennis for the moment. We'll see how it all unfolds. It's going to be an interesting few days to observe. But while I've got you, I mean, this news came through just before I came on air in the last couple of hours that Ken Hinckley has re-signed, quote, "I love everything this club stands for." And he's had a great year. Unfortunately, it didn't culminate in a premiership. But, gee, in a year where he was fighting for his coaching survival, he's been able to secure a new contract.
He's done a great job, hasn't he? And that's going to make him a decade-long coach at Port Adelaide. You know, the end of 2023, he took over in 2013. And remember, BP, they were just... they're almost a basket case of the competition. In fact, I think it's probably fair to say they were. They got Keith Thomas on board, they got David Koch on board, and they got Ken Hinckley on board. And he's been huge for them. He was under some pressure last year, but he got them all the way to a prelim within a kick. And full credit to the Tigers, they were too good on the night. But they were a very good side all year. And with their kids that are coming through, they firmly believe they're in the window. In fact, Matthew Richardson, the CEO, said, "Ken Hinckley will win us a flag. That's what he's here to do." And Ken Hinckley said 100% we're in the window right now to win this premiership. So they believe they can win one in this next 3 years. There's seven players that are going to be older than 30 starting this year. So I think that window has to be right now. They've got to push go. BP, it was a missed opportunity last year. But with so much excitement coming through, Dersma, Butters, Georgiades coming through now as well, Connor Rosie, Miles Bergman's going to be huge, I think. And with the recruiting they did in the trade period, Alia and also Orazio Fantasia, I think this is go time for Port. They can really push the button.
Yeah, one of my favourite teams. When they're going at full tilt, they're great to watch. And, yeah, I think they're going to be right there at the pointy end again. What about Crosstown? I mean, they had a nightmare year, Adelaide. Now that, you know, Matthew Nix has had another pre-season and... you know, a chance to reset. What vibes are you sort of getting out of Adelaide and what they can do to, get back up the ladder again?
It was interesting. I was at the press conference on Monday. I reckon it was Brodie Smith re-signed, which is great. You know, fantastic player, really good bloke, good leader. And he said, look, yeah, there was the temptation to go elsewhere because you think about at his age, 28, 29, going elsewhere and trying to get to a successful club where you are going to win a premiership. And he was really bullish. And there is saying it, and then there's the tone in which you say it. He's really bullish they can turn it around. And that's great to hear. I think they're fully invested, training really hard. Matty Nicks will be better for another year. They've got some great assistants. But for me, BP, I think the loss of Brad Crouch will be significant. He was a really good player when they finally got it going late in the year. Remember, they won 3 games in the last month. And he was a huge part of that. I suspect they're going to be a bottom four club again. Now, happy to be proven wrong, but I think it's going to be a bit more pain before we see that rapid rise. And then I think we might get some, but I think it might be another tough year ahead in 2021.
All that to unfold. Tom, always great to catch up with you. Doing a beautiful job over there in Adelaide. Are you going to get across for the tennis? What's the plan?
I'm hoping so, BP. I'm looking forward to annoying you and asking for all the key questions if I end up doing any on-court interviews and saying, BP, feed me, and you always do. But no, hoping to get across there. I mean, as we've just discussed, you just don't know, you know, with everything COVID, et cetera.
Yep.
But I really hope so. It's such a good event. And, you know, Melbourne do it so well. And I think the fans deserve something after the year we had in 2020. So fingers crossed I'll be there, BP, annoying the you-know-what out of you.
No, you tap me left or right shoulder anytime. Thanks, Tom. Hey, great to catch up.
You're a good man. Thanks, BP.
Tom Wren.